KJAN Sports.
It's time to take a look at sports. Good morning. I'm Jim Field. Well, the Western Iowa Conference held its cross-country championships last night. Here's a look at the girls' side. Logan Magnolia wins with 56 points, narrowly edging AHSTW, who had 58 points. Tri-Center with 75 points, placing third. Fourth was Underwood at 98. Audubon fifth with 108. Trainer and Missouri Valley round out the field. Individually, Peyton Poggi of Tri-Center is the champ, with Courtney Spohr of Logan Magnolia the runner-up. Clara Teglin of Trainer is third, Georgia Paulson of Underwood fourth, and Julia Cook of AHSTW is fifth. The rest of the top 10, Chloe Falcona of AHSTW, Grace Slater of Audubon, Maya Moss of Logan Magnolia, Kyla Korn of Tri-Center, and Holly Heppner of AHSTW round out that top 10. On the boys' side, it was Missouri Valley capturing the team title with 59 points. IKM Manning had 64 points for second. Underwood was third with 68. Tri-Center with 86 points was fourth. Trainer was fifth with 93 points. Riverside at 116 for sixth, and Logan Magnolia placing seventh. Individually, Cole Dooley of Trainer was the conference champion, with Gable Porter of Underwood placing second. Cody Gilpin of Missouri Valley was third. Quentin Dreyer of IKM Manning was fourth. Brett McGee of Tri-Center, fifth. Breck Boroff of Missouri Valley was sixth. Ben Schroeder of Riverside, seventh. Mason Yoakum of Trainer, eighth. Sean McGee of Tri-Center was ninth. And Will Gutzmer of Missouri Valley round out the top 10 in that conference championship meet last night. The Western Iowa Conference also hosted its volleyball tournament the first couple of rounds yesterday. In first round action, it was Audubon dispatching IKM Manning in three straight. Audubon moving into the quarterfinals, where they were defeated in three straight by Underwood. Other quarterfinal matches saw Trainer outlast Missouri Valley 3-2. Logan Magnolia beating AHSTW in three straight. Tri-Center downing Riverside 3-1 last night. Semifinals are set for tonight in Oakland. Underwood will face off against Trainer, while Logan Magnolia will battle Tri-Center. And then the consolation and finals are set for Thursday night. Those will also be held in Oakland. Also in high school volleyball play last night from the Hawkeye 10 Conference, it was Kemper Catholic down in Creston 3-0. From the Rolling Valley Conference, Coon Rapids Bayard a winner as they beat Fremont Mills, actually non-conference play, 3-1. From the Pride of Iowa Conference tournament in pool play yesterday, Southwest Valley defeated Central Decatur in three straight. Lennox beat Wayne 3-2. Bedford over Martinsdale St. Mary's 3-0. East Union beat Mount Air 3-2. Nottoway Valley defeated East Union 3-0. And Southeast Warren over Bedford in three straights in volleyball play last night. Well, the Radio Iowa Weekly High School Football Poll is out here this time around, and here's a look at the top 10 in each class. In Class 4A, Southeast Polk is number one ranked, Dowling Catholic, Ankeny, Pleasant Valley, and Waukee the top five. Iowa City West, Dubuque Hempstead, Urbandale, Sioux City East, and Cedar Rapids Prairie finish off the top 10. In 3A, it's Dallas Center Grimes on top, Harlan at number 2, Cedar Rapids Xavier, Davenport Assumption, and Washington round out the top 5. Lewis Central is at number 6, followed by West Delaware, Webster City, Ballard, and Decorah. In Class 2A, PCM is number 1, with Williamsburg, Central Lyon, George Little Rock, Waukon, and West Lyon making up the top 5. Atlantic heads the second 5 at number 6, followed by Solon, West Marshall, Comanche, and Mount Vernon. In Class 1A, OABCIG is top rated, with Van Meter, Southeast Valley, Sigourney, Keota, and South Hamilton the top 5. Underwood stays at number 6, with South Central Calhoun, Emmitsburg, Waterloo Columbus, and Mount Air finishing off the top 10. In Class A, it's Grundy Center, St. Ansgar, Iowa City Regina, Edgewood Colesburg, and West Hancock the top 5. MFL Marmac is 6, followed by Wapsie Valley at 7, South Winneshiek at 8, Logan Magnolia number 9, and St. Albert is in at number 10. And in the 8-player poll, it's Don Bosco on top, with Remsen St. Mary's number 2, Audubon at number 3, Montezuma is 4, and Cam is rated 5th. Fremont Mills is at number 6, Newell Fonda, Gladbrook Rhinebeck, Coon Rapids Bayard, and Easton Valley round out the top 10 in the 8-player poll. The University of Iowa football team will play two Friday contests and open the season with a 2:30 Central Time game October 24th at Purdue. The schedule for the opening week of Big Ten football was announced Monday morning by the conference office, along with select Friday contests. As has been the case in recent years, the Hawkeyes and Nebraska will meet the day after Thanksgiving in the Heroes game. That contest will air on either Fox or Fox Sports 1, with the start time in Kinnick Stadium to be announced at a later date. With the schedule change, Iowa and Nebraska will meet on Black Friday for the 10th consecutive year. That streak was originally scheduled to end this year. The Big Ten Conference announced in 2017 that the teams would move off of the Black Friday date in 2020 and 2021. The 2020 schedule was twice altered, of course, due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Iowa's game at Minnesota, originally scheduled for Friday, September 18th, will be played Friday, November 13th. The annual contest for Floyd of Rosedale will kick at 6 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. Now, the schedule for the Hawkeyes, in addition to the Purdue game coming up on October 24th and the Minnesota game on November 13th and the Nebraska game November 27th, will include Northwestern at home on October 31st, Michigan State in Kinnick Stadium on November 7th. The Hawkeyes will play at Penn State on November 21st. They'll be at Illinois December 5th. They'll host Wisconsin on December 12th, and then Champions Week is December 19th. Iowa State coach Matt Campbell is more focused on a bye week than where his team sits in the Big 12 race. The 20th-ranked Cyclones are one of three remaining undefeateds in league play, and next up will visit 7th-ranked Oklahoma State on October 24th.
This is such a unique season that, you know, everything early on, it's hard to evaluate any of it, because I think the teams that are going to have success are the ones that are going to really grow as the season continues.
Campbell says the key will be continued improvement.
You know, obviously from our end, you hope that you're one of those teams that can continue to grow and get better. And, you know, I think it takes great leadership within your walls and obviously great leadership amongst the players in your program to be able to get better every week. You know, and I know that sounds cliche a little bit, but that's really a reality of our sport.
Campbell says the postponement of this week's game between Baylor and Oklahoma State shows how critical it is for players to remain healthy.
I think you just continue to try to educate your kids. You try to teach through it and remind your kids you're trying to play football through a pandemic. And the reality of it is, this is a sport that you have to get better if you want to have success. And, you know, being available is a huge part of getting better week in and week out, day in, day out.
This is Iowa State's second bye week of the season. Well, Baylor had 32 active COVID-19 cases in its athletic department in the wake of having to postpone a football game for the second time this season. Updated numbers released Monday include student-athletes from multiple sports and show 29 new cases since last week. The school's weekly update came a day after the Big 12 rescheduled next Saturday's home game against number 7 Oklahoma State to December 12th. Baylor's pause of football activities since last Thursday will extend through at least this week. Of the 32 active cases, 29 student-athletes had symptoms. Only 3 were asymptomatic. Also, Vanderbilt's football game at Missouri Saturday has been postponed because of COVID-19 issues, leaving the Commodores without enough available players. The Southeastern Conference has announced the game has been tentatively rescheduled for December 12th. It's the first SEC game rescheduled due to COVID-19-related problems, and the 28th FBS game overall to be postponed or canceled since August 26th. Kansas State quarterback Skylar Thompson has undergone season-ending surgery on his throwing shoulder, leaving freshman Will Howard to lead the number 22 Wildcats for the rest of the way. Thompson was hurt 2 weeks ago when Texas Tech's Rico Jeffers drove him into the ground after unloading a pass in the Wildcats' 31-21 victory. It was another heartbreaking loss for rookie quarterback Justin Herbert and the Los Angeles Chargers. Will Lutz nailed a 36-yard field goal with 5:08 left in overtime before New Orleans stopped Chargers receiver Mike Williams just short on fourth down to preserve a 30-27 overtime victory. The Chargers blew a 17-point lead for the second straight game as they dropped to 1-4. The Atlanta Falcons have named defensive coordinator Raheem Morris interim head coach after firing Dan Quinn. Morris is in his 6th season with the Falcons and his first full season as defensive coordinator. The Falcons fired Quinn on Sunday night, hours after the team fell to 0-5 for the first time since 1997. Falcons owner Arthur Blank also fired longtime general manager Thomas Dimitroff. A person familiar with the situation tells the Associated Press that the Buffalo Bills game with Tennessee remains on schedule for tonight after the Titans had no positives. The New England Patriots also returned no positives after the NFL pushed back their game with Denver from Saturday to Sunday. The latest testing results came a day after the NFL juggled the schedule, affecting 9 teams after both the Patriots and the Titans had a positive result each on Sunday. A pair of 9th-inning homers have allowed the Atlanta Braves to take Game 1 of the National League Championship Series against the L.A. Dodgers. Austin Riley led off the 9th-inning with a homer off of Blake Treinen to spark a 4-run 9th in the Braves' 5-1 win over the Dodgers. Game 2 is set for tonight in Arlington, Texas. A Gold Glove winner made a critical error that helped the Tampa Bay Rays take a 2-0 lead in the ALCS. Manuel Margot launched a 3-run homer, and Mike Zunino added a solo shot as the Rays downed the Astros 4-2. Margot's first inning blast came two pitches after second baseman Jose Altuve threw away a potential inning-ending grounder. Game 3 is set for today in San Diego, where the Astros will serve as the home team for the next three contests. That's a check of sports this morning. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.